So what do you do next, Lloyd, in terms of the DNA testing? What other kind of testing do you need to do, and what's this procedure? How long will this take?
Well, right now what we've done is we've decided to focus on the biochemistry of the bone itself. So we, as I said, we've just completed a round of testing of the isotopes of the inorganic isotopes of the bones of the two bones. What we're initiating now is a testing process of the organic compounds in the bone, of the organic materials, to see if those are different. Now, we expect the organics will be considerably different. We would assume they would. We don't know. You never know before you get the results, but that's what we're thinking. Now, the gold standard of this thing has always been the DNA, and it will continue to be the DNA until we can find the nuclear DNA, recover it, and see what it's made of. We can't see dad's DNA. We can't see the father's DNA. Now, if it's there, and I assume that it is, it could be recovered, but we would have to create our own primers. Excuse me, we'd have to make our, construct our own primers step by step, piece by piece, base pair by base pair. This is a really expensive process. I think I was quoted $300,000 at one point. It could be done, but nobody, we can't get the money hardly just to do the little, you know, the little things we want to do, much less something like that. So part of what I have to do, part of my job as I see it, is I've got to bring this to the attention of somebody who's either got that kind of money or some institution or group of individuals who will say, look, we're going to throw the kitchen sink at this thing. We're going to do everything conceivably possible to prove exactly what it is, and we're going to let the chips fall where they may, and if it says not entirely human, it's not entirely human. If it says it is human, then it is. But until we can get somebody to make that kind of commitment financially and technically, we're still going to be circling the edges of this thing. But we, again, in my opinion, we've done enough now that we're well past the halfway point of proving our case, not to the degree that science will accept at this point, but I don't know what more they want. We've got everything right in terms of the DNA, except we can't recover the nuclear DNA because the primers don't seem to pick up. And we've got the fibers that we've found, and we've got the red residue that we haven't talked about yet, but which can also be seen on your website or on the Star Child website. And let me add this real quick. You said that it's www.starchildproject.com. That's the old Star Child site.
Ah,
still
has
a lot of reports there.
Okay.
But the new one, where the good stuff is start www.starchild-uk. .com/uk.com.
Okay.
And that's where you can see the slideshows, and particularly the second one with what I'm talking about, the fibers and the red residue. Now, that red residue, which we didn't talk about, was found not with the scanning electron microscope, but with another process entirely that left the cancellous holes. Remember those holes where the bone marrow travels,
mm-hmm.
which left those absolutely clean. It's a very remarkable process how they do it. In normal human bone, when you die, you carry all the bacteria that reduces you to nothing. That's how Mother Nature cleans her plate. So there are bacteria that will eat out every last shred of bone marrow from your bone.
Clean as a whistle.
Clean as a whistle. And so if you look at the human bone in those slides, you see that that's exactly the case. It shines. It looks like alabaster. It's so clean. If you look at the Star Child, very different. The Star Child is loaded with extra material in itself that makes it kind of have a milky color. And that's part of the density issue of it. And it has this reddish residue, little specks of it left in a number of places.
And
now,
that's obviously not blood, right?
Well, see, that's the thing. We don't know what it is. If it was blood, you'd think it would be black because blood tends to do that.
Sure.
So
especially
we,
after 900
we don't
years.
Really we don't know what it is. But if it's organic, and that's the thing, you almost have to assume that it's organic. If it's organic, the DNA should have pulled up very easily, the nuclear DNA. but it didn't. And we took it to the geneticist first thing when we saw it and said, is there any way you could have missed this? And they said, no, that has to be inorganic, because if it was organic, we couldn't have missed it. And yet, if it is organic, then that is a home run. But the problem with both the fibers and the reddish residue is it's never been seen before. Nobody knows what it is, and there's no protocol in place for either recovering those things or testing them.
Is it some kind of fungus or some kind of virus?
Well, the first thing we did, George, was the first thing we thought was that it might be some kind of fungus. So, or any other kind of thing like that. So we took it to some specialists in that field, some mycologists. In fact, we took it to the very top mycologist in England. And he said, well, you're looking at 30,000 possibilities. But he said, in my opinion, I've never seen anything like it, and I don't think that's what it is. It would have to be tested with something called a MALDI-TOF test, which we have not done yet. Again, this is, you know, all this costs money, and we have to marshal our funds and put them where we think they'll do the most good.
Sure.
There is a test to prove it, but based on his say-so, which was that he didn't think it was, we're going with probably not bacteria or fungi.